You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
After briefly teaching at Laval University, Hélène Verdière entered Canada's Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 1992 as a Foreign Service officer, and she was posted to various locations, including Washington, Senegal, and Chile. After retiring from the Foreign Service, she took up translating work in Montreal. Earlier this year, she decided to volunteer as a campaign worker with the NDP in Montreal. She went to the NDP headquarters and handed in her CV. The official there looked at her impressive resume and asked her if she might consider running as a candidate. She agreed and was promptly pitted against Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe in the Montreal riding of Laurier-Saint-Marie. Duceppe had won the riding by more than 15,000 votes in 2008, but this time he lost to the neophyte Laverdière by more than 5,000 votes. Laverdière will be joined in Ottawa by 56 other new NDP MPs, including a 19-year-old, four McGill students, and a candidate who cannot speak fluent French despite representing a riding that is 98% francophone. To help us understand this remarkable turn of events in Quebec is Roger Rachy. Roger is a founding member of Québec Solidaire, and he joins me by phone from Montreal. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Prior to Monday, the NDP had only ever had two candidates elected in its history in Quebec. How did they manage to win 58 seats this time?
I think they rode a wave. They rode a wave of rejection of traditional politics, a very strong wave in Quebec. At the same time, they rode a wave of rejection of Tory politics. And in a certain sense, they lucked out. They caught it at the right time, and they achieved their result, I think, well beyond their wildest dreams.
Could you elaborate a little bit more of this disaffection with the existing political parties?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the only way to understand what just happened is to go back a little bit. I would say by around 2003, so around 6-7 years ago, the traditional bipartisan that dominated Quebec politics started unraveling. For the past 30 years or 35 years, Quebec had been dominated by a sovereigntist bloc and a federalist bloc. The sovereigntist bloc, of course, expressed by the PQ and then the Bloc Québécois, and the federalist bloc expressed by the Liberal Party, both provincially and federally. And they had sort of a stranglehold on Quebec, and all Quebec politics was seen through the prism of the federal versus sovereignty debate. And left-wingers or progressives or right-wingers or people who were more conservative were kind of forced in these two camps, sometimes to the detriment of their true values. What we see since 2003 is the beginning of the unraveling of this kind of two blocks in Quebec politics. And we've just seen it with incredible clarity at the federal level. Not only have the Liberals, once the great dominating power in Quebec politics, declined to less than 20%, but the Bloc Québécois, which had been the majority party at the federal level for the past 10 years, and a strong, strong aspect of Quebec politics on the federal scene for 20 years, gone down to 4 seats only. So you have a major shift, which was slowly gaining strength, I would say, over the past 7 years, finally exploding with great clarity in this election.
And was that explosion particularly true of any age sector, or because we have had lots of discussion about the larger number of youth involvement in politics around the world, in fact, but
yeah.
Is this an age phenomenon, or this is a cross-gender, a cross-age phenomenon?
I think it's a cross-age phenomenon, but particularly strong among young people. I've spoken with several scrutineers, people who actually manned the polls on Monday, and they all told me that they saw an amazing number of young people registering on voting day, sometime for the first time in their lives, and wanting absolutely to vote. So I think this is a very interesting phenomenon. This kind of massive rejection of conservative politics finally roused a segment of the youth who expressed itself for probably the first time by voting NDP. At the same time, there was also massive disaffection from the Bloc Québécois. I think a poll came out this morning, a post-election poll, and they actually questioned people who had switched from the Bloc to the NDP and asked them to express what were the main reasons for them switching their vote. The number one reason was wanting to defeat the Tories. The second reason was they were tired of the Bloc Québécois sort of old rhetoric that nationalism trumps all, even social questions. And I think these two phenomena coalesced in the amazing results that we saw on Monday. By the way, nobody predicted that kind of result, least of all the NDP. There's a journalist from the La Presse newspaper, which is the biggest newspaper in Montreal, that spoke at 7 o'clock on election day with Mulcair, Thomas Mulcair. And Mulcair told him that he was hoping for 12 seats on at the end of the election and ended up with anywhere from 58 to 59 seats. So I think nobody, least of all the NDP, expected that kind of result.
So you mentioned negative factors, people wanting to get rid of the Tories, being disappointed with the Bloc. What about Jack Layton? Did he have any positive pole of attraction for him and the NDP?
Absolutely. Jack has worked very hard since 2003 on reaching out to Quebec voters in French. And he's done a wonderful job at it in terms of somebody whose mother tongue is not French being able to communicate with voters in that way. He's done a wonderful job at that level. But very interestingly, both among NDP voters in Quebec and those who left the Bloc, Jack Layton is mentioned as a third factor and not the principal factor. Interesting to see. In other words, he connected with a very strong shift, both a political and social shift, within the Quebec electorate. He was an important ingredient, but not necessarily the main one.
Well, and now for people who, if their first reason was to get rid of the Conservatives, are faced, though they voted overwhelmingly for the NDP, they're faced with a Conservative majority government. So
yes.
In that situation, what's the caucus for the NDP going to look like?
That's the question that everybody's asking. It's a very, very difficult situation, I think, for the NDP. You have a caucus with about six or seven very experienced people. And you have a majority of people who have very little experience in politics. Some are longtime NDP activists. Some are just people who were sympathetic to the NDP and were basically chosen as parachute candidates. So you have a tremendous amount of young people, students, who also gave their names as candidates in outlying regions who never campaigned in those regions. I mean, for example, there's four McGill students, all undergraduates from the NDP club at McGill, that were elected in four ridings in Quebec, well outside Montreal, sometimes by 5, 6, 7, or 10,000 vote majority, who have never campaigned in those ridings. It's an incredible situation. I know of a riding about 30 miles from Montreal, which was represented by trade unionists, very well known in the area, very, very well known in the area, who won his seat in 2008 by something like 15,000 or 16,000 vote majority. He lost his seat this time to a total unknown who never campaigned in the area by 10,000 votes. So it's a massive thing which is hard to explain and understand because people knew that they were voting for somebody who had not campaigned in the area in the week or 2 weeks maximum before the election. A lot of the Bloc activists were going door to door and telling people, be careful, this person is not from here, has never campaigned, we don't know who she is, and so on and so forth. And despite all that, there was a massive, massive vote for the NDP candidate. It's, in a certain sense, the electors almost didn't care in many of the ridings who the local candidate was, but wanted to express politically their opposition to the Tories and their willingness to see some kind of a change along left-wing lines in Canada. That's the most amazing development, you know.
It brings back the memory of the Rhinoceros Party, but we won't go there. Quebec Solidaire, your political party, is a progressive party. It's a sovereigntist party.
Right.
What role did your organization play in the federal election in Quebec?
Well, officially, Quebec Solidaire, at the beginning of the election, called on people to vote against the Conservatives and choose a progressive candidate that was the most likely to win in their area. In other words, there was no official position for against the NDP or for against the Bloc, Québécois. I think that's important to establish and understand that clearly. Now, in several writings, mostly I would say in the Montreal area, Quebec Solidaire activists, sometimes some of the younger ones, coming from the trade unions or the community organizations, helped or supported some NDP candidates. But it's not a party-wide policy, and it's not an official, clearly established strategic approach to say, yes, we have to support the NDP. There's a sympathy among some people for the NDP, but there's also a lot of questions that people are asking of the NDP. You've got to understand that, for example, in the Montreal area, a year ago, the only functioning local riding association of the NDP was Malkers. There was no other functioning NDP riding association in the Montreal area. I wonder how many riding associations have actually functioned across Quebec. So in a certain sense, you have a party with very little organizational roots, very little ground game, as political commentators say, that has swept huge areas of Quebec. So the NDP finds itself, I think, in a very bizarre situation, a vastly inexperienced caucus, a lot of people who had no idea that they would actually become members of parliament, actually in a position where they have to start not only building a party, but also trying to represent voters in the riding. It's a very, very daunting challenge. There's some very well-meaning people in that new NDP caucus. There's some very experienced people. But what is interesting to see is those who are experienced have gained their experience mostly outside the NDP, either in the trade union movement or as in native communities in the north of Quebec. There's very few people who have actually gained their spurs within the NDP organization as such, because it has been fairly non-existing in Quebec up to now.
So the NDP doesn't support the right of Quebec to determine its own fate, and we have a situation where a lot of the press in English Canada says, well, sovereignty anyway is dead or it's on the wane. How does that look to you, the sovereignty issue, from a point of view of a Québécois?
Yeah, well, I think the clearest thing that one can say is that the vote for the NDP is not a rejection of sovereignty per se. It's a rejection of a certain way of putting sovereignty forward. In other words, it's a rejection of this attitude which the Parti Québécois and the Bloc Québécois symbolized of putting everything on the national question to the detriment of social issues. And I think that's the clearest message that a lot of voters in Quebec are sending. It's not that the national question or Quebec constitutional future doesn't interest them, but they're not willing to accept the discourse which says, forget all social differences, forget progressive values, let's just vote to defend Quebec's interest. So I think that's the clearest message that was sent. I don't think you can extrapolate from it a position which would say we see the historical decline of the sovereigntist movement or the independence movement in Quebec. I think it's too early to tell, and we haven't seen yet exactly how the NDP is going to play its cards in Quebec, because the pressure on Jack Layton and the pressure on Mulcair is going to be tremendous. They will have to come across with something for Quebec and in a certain way answer some of the demands that were put on them, yet they're in a minority position in Parliament and won't be able to influence the policy of the Tory government. And there will be, I think, movements, social movements developing in Quebec. There will be people marching in the streets and demanding things. And it'll be very interesting to see how the NDP does in relation to that. Will they reflect, the growing wave of discontent and possibly extra-parliamentary action? Or will they try, on the contrary, to play much more moderate game and try and maintain sort of a parliamentary discourse while ongoing movements are developing in Quebec? I think it'll be interesting to watch. And I don't think it'll be a very easy position for them to defend.
Well, thank you very much for pointing out the things that we should keep our eyes on, and we'll certainly keep in touch. We need more Quebec voices in English Canada. Thank you very much, Roger.
No problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for calling me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Roger Rachy. He's a social and political activist living in Montreal and a founding member of the group Québec Solidaire.